All right, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Ted Vav Amud Bet. The Mishnah begins, Shvua she'eni yashen, she'eni midaber, she'eni mehalech asur. So as opposed to a neder, where actually the lashon in the previous Mishnah was she'ani, because with regards to the neder, you're focused on the chetza. Over here, the shvua is telling us what you want to do. So the shvua is she'eni yashen, that I do not want to sleep. Or shvua she'eni midaber, that I won't speak. Or shvua she'eni malech, or that I won't walk. Asur. In all of those instances, the shvua takes effect, as opposed to what we saw in the previous Mishnah, where there were issues because it was a neder instead of a shvua. And a neder and an intangible item does not take effect. Therefore, we said that harizeh ba'alo yachel divaro was an isur d'rabanan. That was imposed in the neder when you're talking about an intangible item. Over here, we're talking about a shvua, which is completely asura. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Kurban lo uchal lecha, ha kurban shu uchal lecha, lo kurban lo uchal lecha mutar. So in this instance, if you take a neder in this formulation, then the neder does not take effect. So first of all, the kurban lo uchal lecha, because in that instance you are utilizing the korban on the lo ochal lecha, which is that I will not eat from you, and it doesn't take effect because what are you saying in this case? If you're saying that it should be like a korban, then you're using a lashon of neder to try to generate something that is a shvua. On the other hand, if you say that it's talking about a neder, then the neder has to focus on the object, not on the action or activity that you're taking. And in this case, korban lo uchal lecha would mean she'oser korban moshlo yuchal mechavero, that you're making asur what you won't eat from your friend, which has no bearing on what you would eat from your friend. So in both instances, you fail to create anything that would be binding in this instance. So the best you can say is that b'chayei korban lo uchal lecha, which is what the Ran suggests that the person is saying over here, because that's not something that creates a shvua. That's not something that generates shvua. Korban is the ultimate vehicle that you use for a pasa by a neder. If you think he's using it as a neder, it fails because you're making asur what you won't eat from your friend. And if you think it's continuing that he's using a shvua over here, it doesn't work because what is he making the shvua in? Bechayei korban, there's nothing that he's really making the shvua in the name of or taking the shvua for. Now, ha korban, most of the rishonim read that this ha korban means chai korban. So it says here, chai korban she'ochal lecha. So that means that by the life of the korban, that I will eat from you. So again, over there, there's a failure in structure to get to a neder or to get to a shvua. Because taking such a thing, bechayei o korban, has no meaning in the context of a shvua. And in the context of a neder, neder is korban and not chayei korban. Lo korban, lo uchal lecha mutar. Now this last piece here, it was possible here that we could create a neder here, which is lo korban means hekdesh. Lo uchal lecha means that hekdesh, with that which I will eat from you. That lo korban, lo uchal lecha is basically saying that it's not hekdesh what I don't eat from you, implying that which I do eat from you will be hekdesh. There again, it's mutar because this Mishnah we're going to see in a second is authored by Rabbi Meir. And since it's Rabbi Meir, we don't make any inferences from the Mishnah. Michlalata shumehein or mehenata shumealav. And so therefore over here, when you say lo korban, it doesn't help you because we don't make that inference to go from lo korban to say it is hekdesh. The Gemara says, Mani matnitin. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Meir here. It's got to be Rabbi Meir. Di Rabbi Yehuda, lo shanale korban, lo shanale ha korban. Doesn't matter how you put this together, it doesn't work. Because if you remember, Rabbi Yehuda requires the kafa dimyon. And since you don't have any kafa dimyon over here, then everything fails just because of the lack of ki korban. Nothing to do with what language you use over here. Ema seifa. What are you going to do with the seifa of this Mishnah, which seems to indicate that la korban lo achal lecha mutar? In that case, it's lo korban. Lo achal locha is mutar, because there was a patach under the lamid of the la korban. So lo korban, lo achal locha means that it should be hekdesh. Lo achal locha, that I will not eat from you, mutar, vatznan. La korban, lo achal locha, Rabbi Meir oser. We saw this earlier, that Rabbi Meir interprets that to be a ser. Rami Arbi Ava nasek omer le korban yehe. It's like as if you said, it should be a korban. Lefikach lo achalacha. Therefore, I will not eat from you. Where it says, lokasha. Hadamar le korban with a shiva. Hadamar lo korban or la korban with a patach. Telohavi korban kamar. So, if you phrase it as le korban lo achalacha, then Rabbi Meir says it works, because then you're saying the korban yehe lo achalacha, and therefore I will not eat from you. If it's la korban, or like lo korban, like in our Mishnah, then it won't work, because lo korban doesn't help you, because Rabbi Meir does not believe michla la vatashumehein, and therefore the lo korban will not be reinterpreted to mean hekdesh, or korban yehe, and therefore you have nothing out of this. And therefore, it doesn't work according to Rabbi Meir l'shitato, because he doesn't have michla la vatashumehein. All right, next Mishnah. Shvua lo achalucha, hashvua sho achalucha, lo shvua lo achalucha, asur. Now, in this case, you do work. Because if he takes a shvua that he will not eat, then you have a perfectly good shvua that he won't eat from this individual. Hashvua sho achalucha. As Rashi notes over here, v'hai shvua lekele meymar dechaye shvua kamar, because the shvua leipe mamash, kamo b'kurban. So when you say hashvua, it's the equivalent of saying shvua, because you can't reinterpret it to mean chaye shvua, because it's not meaningful in this context. Whereas by hakurban, to interpret it as chaye kurban, that does have some meaning, even though it won't work, or it's not effective as a shvua. Nevertheless, that interpretation is not far-fetched, because you're talking about a living object. So talking about chaye kurban makes some sense. So again here, it's not clear that the word ha is in the girsa of the Mishnah. It might just be that the Mishnah is saying, shvua sho'achal lecha. It's a shvua that I will eat from you, meaning that I'm taking a shvua that I will not eat from you, that shvua that if I eat from you. Lo shvua, lo achal lecha. There's no shvua that I don't eat from you, asur. Now over here, that's more difficult, because lo shvua means I'm not taking a shvua for that which I don't eat from you, inferring that I am taking a shvua about what I do eat from you. And that's how you get the shvua. But didn't we just say that Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah over here? If Rabbi Meir is the author of the Mishnah, how do you get michla lavata shumehein? Nir b'einai, dainu taimim, mishum da'adam eskinen, b'sov perak shvat eidut, d'chilele Rabbi Meir michla lavata shumehein, hani mile b'mamona. That's only true with monetary matters. We discussed this earlier, that Rabbi Meir's opinion about not inferring only has to do with monetary matters. That's what we learn out from the Tznai B'nai Gad, B'nai Ruvain. But when it comes to Isura, that Rabbi Meir agrees that you can make such inferences. So then, what about the fact that, according to Rabbi Meir, by Nidarim, we don't say, Michlal Lav Atashumehein, Michlal Hein Atashumehelav. What happens in that instance? So we said earlier that Nidarim are an isura da'ati libei mimona. They're an isura that leads to mamon. Similar to what the Gemara answers up by sota. How come a sota, Rabbi Meir, does not allow you to utilize that principle over there, even though sota is isura? Gemara says is because sota is isura da'ati libei mimona. So the Ran said the same thing earlier with regards to Nidarim, that it is isura da'ati libei mimona. And therefore, Rabbi Meir does not allow it to take place. But that is only true by Nidarim. But by Shavuot, Rabbi Meir will invoke Michlal Lav Atashumehein, or Michlal Hein Atashumehelav, because a Shavua is only Yisur, does not have a monetary impact. The reason the Ran says is that a Neder focuses on the Chefetz, on the object itself. Therefore, it's an Yisura that has monetary impact vis-a-vis the object. On the other hand, a shvua, which is about the gavra, only has an issue of isura, does not have an issue of mimona. Now that's not the simplest way to explain it, because had you asked me about sota, that I say that it's a sura, the ati de mimona, I wouldn't have said it has to do with the object, I would have said that it is isura that has monetary ramifications. There are monetary ramifications. In fact, whether she gets her ktubah or doesn't get her ktubah. And same thing by a neder. The reason that a neder is isura atle de mamona is because the isur has monetary implications. You may not eat from here anymore. You may not utilize. You may not get hana. That's monetary implications. You could argue the same thing by shvuah. That shvuah is isura, but it has monetary implications. And therefore it is an isura atle de mamona. So nevertheless, what you see, the Ran does not explain it that way. And the Ran believes that isura atle de mamona means that there has to be an object involved over here. And that object makes it an isura da'atil de mamona, and that's only true by nedarim, not by shvuot. And therefore, the Ran believes over here that Rabbi Meir does not worry about michlal lav atashumahein, michlal hein atashumahela by shvuot. And that's why that last shvuah in the Mishnah works, is because lo shvuah, lo ochal lecha, he will invoke michlal lav atashumahein, and that means shvuah, shochal lecha. And that teaches you that it does work in that case for Rabbi Meir. Obviously, according to others, don't necessarily have to explain it like the Ran did, which is that it's Isura de lo ati de mamona versus neder, which is Isura de ati de mamona. It might be that by shvuah, like the Rashi notes over here, afilu Rabbi Meir, ta'achin gamrinam besek shvot, the shvot itle the Rabbi Meir, michlalav atashmehein. Rashi just claims that that's because what Rabbi Meir says in the Gemara in Shvot, even though it's not so clear in the Gemara in Shvot, whereas the Tosafot and the Rosh say that it has to do with the fact that Shvot are more Chamurot. And therefore, even Rabbi Meir agrees that a lemichla lav atashmehein, and he atashmehelav, nothing to do with Isura and Mimona. Or Tosafot says over here that it could be Ayachalka de Rabbonon. Odeish Lamar, the time of the Shvot, I know Mishum de Gazrin and Shema Yomar, Shva lo ochal. We delay the low. He'll skip the word low. Bahavade pshita. Aval gabe neder, afilu he delay low. Yomar kurban lo ochal. Still like a yisur. Even if you say kurban lo ochal, it should be hektesh, what I don't eat from you. That still doesn't produce a neder. And therefore it's arachoka by shvua, because the skipping of the word low will result in a full-fledged shvua, which is not true by a neder. The skipping of the word low will not result in a full-fledged neder. Or the last possibility is brought up by the Ramban or the Ritva, that the Mishnah shouldn't say lo shvua, but rather la shvua or lishvua. And even though la shvua could mean lo shvua, we saw earlier in the Ran, if you can interpret it to mean a neder by putting a shva under it, then we'll interpret la shvua to mean lishvua. And that's what it's meant here in the Mishnah, that it's lishvua or la shvua results in the neder, despite the fact that you have lamed tucha before the word. The Gemara says now, michlal, now, what's implied by our Mishnah is, you saw the first two cases in the Mishnah. Shvua shalo chalucha. Shvua that I will not eat from you. And then you take a shvua shalucha that I will eat from you. But in both cases, we're saying that you are saying that it's a sur. So that means that whatever lashon you use, whether you term it in the negative form or in the positive form, seemingly from the Mishnah, you end up not being able to eat from this individual. So that's what the Gemara says. Michlal, that when you say shvua shochalucha, shvua that I will eat from you, delo achilna mashma. That means I won't eat from you. So the word shvua shochalucha doesn't mean shvua I will eat from you, but rather shvua if I eat from you, basically, which means that I will not eat from you. Viraminu, is that really true? Shvot shtayim shein arba. You go to the first Mishnah in the first prakim that deal with shvuot in Masechet Shvuot. The first Mishnah says shvuot shtayim shein arba. There are two core shvuot that result in being four shvuot. Sho ochal, vishalo ochal. That I will eat and I will not eat. Shachalti, which is in the past tense. Vishalo achalti. And then I did not eat. That means that I'm taking a shvua that I did eat. I'm trying to substantiate a fact. Oh. Did I eat or did I not eat? So I'm taking a shvua to substantiate a fact in the past. So the pasuk says, lahara ulehetiv, which means to do good or to do bad, which makes it sound that it's in the future tense, which are the shtayim, which is shochal, shalo achal. Shein arba, we learn out from the ribui over there that it even includes shachalti and shalo achalti, even in the past tense. Midikamar, over there, where it says shochal, v'shalo achal, since the Mishnah over there gives you two examples, shochal that I will eat, shalo achal that I won't eat, that parallels shachalti v'shalo achalti, that parallels that I did eat, or I didn't eat. Michlal, the shoachal lecha, the achilna mashma. It's pretty clear from that Mishnah, when you say shoachal lecha, and there it's talking about shvuot, when I say shvuah shoachal lecha, means that I will eat. The positive sense of I will eat. Shvuah, that I will eat from this. Not shvuah, if I will eat from this. So how over here are you interpreting shochal lecha to mean I won't eat? And over there in Shavuot, you're interpreting shochal lecha means that I will eat. Some rabbi, shochal shtei lishonot mashma. Shochal can mean either one. It all depends on the context. In each context, you can have the word shochal lecha mean something positive, I will eat. Or shochal lecha can mean I will not eat. For instance, ayu misarvim bo lechol. They were pressing him to join in the meal, to join in the party. Vamar achilna, achilna. Says, hey, I will eat, I will eat. Vitu, shvua shochal. And on top of that, he takes a shvua that I will eat. Then dachilna mashma. It's clear there that he intends to eat. And therefore, in that context, the shvua is clearly meaning that I will eat. Aval amar, lo achilna, lo achilna. If they're pressing him to eat or join the party, he says, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat, I'm on a diet, whatever the reason is that he doesn't want to eat with them. Vitu, and then he adds on top of that, shvua shochal. It's a shvua if I will eat. That's what he means in that case. Not shvua shochal, shvua that I will eat, but shvua if I will eat. So that shvua in that context, lo achilna kamar, means I will not eat. So everything is in context. The word shvua shochalocha, if you look at the context, it's clear he's trying to give more force to the statement that he's made prior to that. According to Rabbi, the context is enough to determine what the meaning of the word is over here. The Rosh says it over here. He says, because anu tolim shelekayim devarav hu nishba, that the person intends to keep what he is saying. Kedei shiaminu lo ma shamar. Even though the word seems opposite of what his intent is, nevertheless, in the context, we assume that the person is trying to take a shvua to give more force or to back up what he's been saying until now. And therefore, we're going to interpret the word based on that context. Now, Rav Ashi amar, I don't think that you can say that. Shochal deshvua she'iochal kamar. So Rav Ashi says that I don't agree. How do I explain the Mishnah? Shochal is that he extended the pronunciation on the shin over here. She'iochal, which means that she'iochal, that I will not eat. So just like la shvua or la korban means lo korban, or lo shvua. Same thing over here. Sheochal means she'i ochal, not sheochal. He drew out, or he had a drawn out sand on the shin, and that gave us a contraction of she'i ochal rather than simply sheochal. So Gemara says, imkeim pshita. If that really is the interpretation, what is the question over here? If he says she'i ochal, that I will not eat, then that's the same as saying shvua shelo ochal. So maila memra, ma'u detema. What would I have thought? Mekam lishnahi de'itkale. He just caught up. I got caught up in a syllable. He was just extending the syllable. He wasn't trying to give meaning to that syllable. Kamash malon, that we do. That's what we mean. He meant to contract she'iochal into she'iochal. The Rosh actually says over here that the kamash malon is kevin dotzi b'sfatav she'iochal lo mehemenin le. If he comes in and tells us that he meant something else, we're not going to listen to him. And therefore, there are those that want to say over here that you differentiate between a Talmud Chacham and a Am Haaretz as to whether we believe them in that case as to what their real intent is. Or it could be a case where he forgot what his intent was and now we're trying to interpret the neder when he said she'ochel, and that's a kamash malon that we interpreted in this manner, even though it's a substandard type of language or expression. Nevertheless, we interpret it in this way to give meaning to the shvua. Abaye lo amar Tam ki Rav Ashi. Abaye doesn't say like Rav Ashi. Pretty obviously, I didn't say like Rav Ashi. Delok tani she'ochal. That's just not what's written there. Rav Ashi nadei mitam de Abaye. It's interesting here. Abaye does not subscribe to Rav Ashi because Rav Ashi is a very difficult interpretation of the Mishnah. Other than Rav Ashi not subscribing to Abaye, the Gemara terms as nadei from the word like nav v'nad. Nad means to wander, to distance oneself away. So over here it says it, Rav Ashi nadi mitam do Abaye. Rav Ashi distanced himself, wandered away from Abaye's expression. Kasavar, shelo achal, nami mashma shtei lishonot. He says, because once you do that, if you tell me that ochal can mean both things, then shelo achal can also mean both. Hayu misarvim bo lechol. If in context they were pressing him to eat, v'amar lo achilna, lo achilna, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat. V'amar nami shvua, and now he takes a shvua. Ben shochal, ben shlo achal. whether he takes a shvua now to say that I will eat, or whether he takes a shvua shelo ochal, that I will not eat, hadein achilna mashma damar. Then over there, it seems that he clearly is saying that I will eat. Ve'ikad le'terutzei nami lishna shvua shelo ochal, I could also interpret shelo ochal to mean shvua delo achilna kamar, that I will not eat. So just like you are suggesting over here that shvua shelo ochal would mean either one, which means I will eat, or shvua that if I will eat, then you can say the same thing about shelo ochal. Because when he says v'amar lo achilna, you can interpret that in one of two ways. You can interpret that mean that I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat, or you can interpret it as a rhetorical statement. Lo achilna, am I not going to eat? Lo achilna, I'm not going to eat. And therefore, when he says afterwards shvua shelo ochal, it's not clear which of those two meanings it means. Did he mean lo achilna, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat, and then shvua shelo ochal means I will not eat? Or did he say lo achilna in the rhetorical sense, which is lo achilna, I'm not going to eat? And then when he says shvua shelo ochal, that also is in a rhetorical sense, and it means shvua that I'm not going to eat, of course I'm going to eat. And therefore, the shvua can be interpreted by shelo ochal to mean both directions. It can mean both to eat or not to eat, depending on the way that he says lo achilna, whether he says it as a statement or as a rhetorical statement. And by doing that, you know, you've taken away or made the Mishnah devoid of any meaning when you use the term lo achal or achal. And yet, in our Mishnah, the Tana mentions shvua shelo achal, and he says definitively that that is a shvua. But according to you, context matters. Then in this case also, context should matter, and you should have to qualify that statement. The fact that he doesn't qualify it shows you that he meant something definitively. All of a sudden, you made a mess out of the Mishnah, because now you're telling me that nothing in the Mishnah is meduyak anymore. Because shelo achal can mean, yes, I will eat, or shelo achal can mean, no, I will not eat. So it can mean shvua, shelo achal means shvua, that I will not eat, or shvua, if I will not eat, meaning that I will eat. And if you can reinterpret it that way, then you've now made it meaningless, the Mishnah, because the Mishnah gave examples of both Lishanot, and both Lishanot are not dafka, they can be flipped. So Latana Pascha, but rather Atana is Meduyak, Shuachal Dachilna Mashma, that when you say Shuachal means to eat, Shloachal means Loachal Mashma, you can't start reinterpreting words to mean other things. Because otherwise, your Mishnah, there's no meaning anymore when you use the word shelo ochal or ochal, because we don't even know what it means in each of these contexts. And if you're going to reinterpret ochal, why don't you reinterpret shelo ochal? Now, the Rambam concludes that the halacha here is like Abaye. On the other hand, the Ran favors the Ramban's shita that we pass on like the Batra, which is Rav Ashi over here. And there actually are nuschaot in the Rambam that actually have been passing like Rav Ashi as well, which would favor that position of the Ramban as well as the Ran. Right now, next Mishnah. Zechomer bishvuot mi binedarim. This is the stringency that you find by shvuot that you don't have by nedarim. Bichomer binedarim bishvuot. And here also we have something that's more stringent about nedarim than shvuot. Ketzad. Now the Mishnah is about to give an example where nedarim are more stringent than shvuot. That means that zechomer bishvuot mi binedarim, this is the stringency of Shavuot over Nidarim, refers to the previous Mishnayot that we brought. And that the Gemara will clarify what exactly is the reference, the previous reference, that it's a case of Shavuot that doesn't work by Nidarim. Now the Mishnah gives an example of Nidarim that are more stringent than Shavuot. Ketzad, Amar Konam Sukkah Shani Oseh. If he says that I take a Neder, Isur Anah from the Sukkah that I make, Lulav Shani Notel, or this Lulav that I will take, Tfilin shani meniach, these tfilin that I will put on, bid nidarim asur. By nidarim it takes effect. Bishvuot mutar. By shvua it will not work. She'ein nishbaim nabor ala mitzvot. You're not allowed to take a shvua to violate a mitzvah, because ein shvua chal al shvua. A shvua cannot take effect on another shvua, and you already have a shvua mihar sinai. So here in this case, you have something that differentiates between shvua and neder. The Gemara is going to discuss in a second. But the clear differentiation is that a neder is chal, a shvua is not chal. A shvua is not chal because you're already bound by a shvua to be mekayim the mitzvot. Therefore, you can't take another shvua that undermines or undoes the shvua that already obligates you to do the mitzvah. So if you take a shvua not to do a mitzvah, then it doesn't mean anything because you already have a shvua to do the mitzvah. And the other way around, if you already take a shvua to do something that's asur, you already have a shvua that pre-exists that says you're not allowed to do that which is asur. That doesn't take effect. On the other hand, if it's a neder focuses on the chepzo, focus on the object. And what happens is that you take a neder vis-a-vis this object, and then as a byproduct of the neder, you can't be mekayim the mitzvah. So here you say that this sukkah, I will not get a no from. So this chefetz, this sukkah becomes a chefetz of isur. So right, okay, you didn't take any neder that goes up against the mitzvah itself. You're not taking anything which precludes you from mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. On the other hand, this specific sukkah you have restricted. Now, it happens to be the only sukkah in town or the only sukkah around. A byproduct of your neder is that you will not be able to kind the mitzvah. But that you can do. That type of neder is chal, does take effect, because you did not go directly or oppose the mitzvah of the Torah. And therefore it takes effect. Now, it might be different, or you have to consider the situation in which the person takes a neder not to get hanah from the object, when you're talking about the single object, or if he says it in a more general state, that he will not, he takes a neder, he won't get a no'ah from any sukkah. Now again, there it's still chal on the chefetz, and the neder will still be chal, even though now in a sense he's really precluding himself from the mitzvah entirely. That could be for one of two reasons. Again, it could either be because of the way the Ran expresses it, which is the inability to do the mitzvah is a byproduct of the neder, not a direct result of the neder. The neder itself is just preventing you from hana'ah. It's not going up against the mitzvah itself. A byproduct of not being able to get hana'ah from a sukkah is that you won't be able to do the mitzvah of sukkah. In that case, the neder is chal, and then you have a problem. On the other hand, you could read it, and the Avnei Nezer suggests this in the Sefer Chinuch, that if I take a neder in that case, if I look at each independent sukkah, it will be chal. Because each sukkah independently, if I looked at it, there are other sukkot in the world, and therefore each sukkah, it'll be chal. So if I look at each sukkah, it's chal. So if I go from one to one to one to one, in the end, you end up with all sukkot being asurim, even though collectively, if they're all asurim, you have undermined the mitzvah. But I don't do it that way. I look at each sukkah, and each sukkah still has an alternative. And since it has an alternative, each sukkah becomes asur by itself. And then collectively, they all become asurim, and that's what prevents you from doing the mitzvah. The one thing I will note over here, something that's important, konam sukkah shani oseh. That over here, the Mishnah gives an example of mitzvot. One mitzvah is lulav shani notel. I take a lulav. Tefillin shani maniach. The tefillin I put on. The other one is that I make a sukkah. What mitzvah is there to make a sukkah? The mitzvah of a sukkah is to sit in the sukkah, not to make a sukkah. From over here in this Mishnah, as well as in the Gemara and Sukkah, there's strong evidence that there might be a mitzvah associated with asiyata sukkah, and not just with yeshivata sukkah. We do something that affects that, which is when we make the bracha of shechiyanu, the Gemara there discusses, if you made a shechiyanu on the asiyah, then you don't make it on the yeshiva. But that indicates that you would make a shechiyanu on the asiyah versus the yeshiva. Why would you do that? What type of mitzvah is involved? So again, over there, it makes it sound like the asiyata sukkah involves some sort of mitzvah. Today, when we make the bracha of Shechiyanu by the sukkah, we have in mind both for the yeshivata sukkah, as well as the asiyata sukkah. So from here, there are those that believe that asiyat sukkah is a mitzvah. The Netziv has a very famous formulation, which says that there are certain mitzvot in the Torah, where the hechsher mitzvah is ketuvah b'Torah. That the actual making or doing of the mitzvah is written in the Torah. Generally, if we have, for instance, tefillin. Tefillin, the mitzvah is to put on the tefillin. There's no mention in the Torah of making the tefillin. So there's no mention of making the tefillin in the Torah. Then that's a hechsher mitzvah, making the tefillin. And the mitzvah itself is tefillin. And then if you go to things like tzitzit. By tzitzit, there's a mitzvah to wear tzitzit. That's the mitzvah. But the Torah also tells us that you have to make tzitzit. You say it every day in Kriyat Shema. Vasulem tzitzit. That you have to make tzitzit. That's what we call a hechsher mitzvah ktuvah b'Torah. The hechsher mitzvah is making the tzitzit so you can wear them. But the hechsher mitzvah is actually written in the Torah. Sukkah is a similar thing. Sukkah, the Torah tells us that you should make the sukkot, and then you sit in the sukkot. So the fact that the Torah tells you about the hechsher mitzvah becomes what's called a hechsher mitzvah ktuvah b'Torah. And that, the Netziv says, might have a different standing or a different status than a regular hechsher mitzvah. Regular hechsher mitzvah is exactly that. It's a hechsher mitzvah. On the other hand, a hechsher mitzvah, ktuvah b'Torah, might be something where you can make a bracha on it, possibly. There, the Gemara in Menachot, the Yerushalmi talks about the possibility of making a bracha on asiyat tzitzit. And same thing by a sukkah, a brachot on the asiyat sukkah. Where are all these brachot coming from on extra mitzvah? Well, we don't have that, but nobody says by asiyat tefillin you make a bracha. The answer is that extra mitzvah, ktuvah b'torah, might have a different status. And therefore, it might be deemed a mitzvah, in a sense, or it might be the quasi-mitzvah enough that you can make a bracha on it possibly, or say a shechiyano on it. And a similar thing over here, where the Mishnah gives an example of a neder that's negative mitzvah, is a siyat sukkah is right over here, not just yeshivat sukkah, because a siyat sukkah has a different standing than most hechsherei mitzvah. Right, it's just something interesting to keep in mind, just the language of the Mishnah over here. Right now the Gemara says, chomer nichlal de neder hu. If you look at the way that the Mishnah is structured, it says, chomer shvuot mi bidarim. Shvuot are more chamur than nidarim. That means by a shvua, you're going to be chayav makot or korban. You're going to be in violation of a lav. But by the neder, you don't have all of that, but you still be asur. So let's say there are two levels here. Shvua becomes a full-fledged doraita, which you will be penalized for. On the other hand, the neder doesn't get up to that level, but it's still asur. And it's not saying that shvuot are asurim and nidarim are mutarim in this case. It's just saying that a shvua is more stringent than a neder. That means that the neder is asur, but the shvua has something on top of that. And the problem with that is, v'hamutar ktani. Our Mishnah says, mutar the gabei those nidarim. So if you go back to our Mishnah that we started with today on the bottom of Ted Vav Amud Bet, where we said, korban lo achalucha, ha korban sho achalucha, lo korban lo achalucha, mutar. All of those are examples, we said, either of a shvua, which it won't take effect, korban, which is the quintessential way to make a neder, and there it says mutar. Right after that, we have shvua shelo chalucha, and they are asurim. So here, if you say that this is the Mishnah immediately preceding our Mishnah, it says zeh. This is an example of a shvua that's more chamor than a neder. Well, this references back to those two Mishnayot that says that the case of shvua takes effect. By the case of neder, it's mutar legamre. But that's not what we're trying to bring an example to. We're trying to bring an example to a case where a shvua is more chamor than a neder. Neder is asur, but a shvua is asur with punishments associated with it. So where is that example in the Mishnah? We don't see that. So the Gemara answers, asefa de idach bova ktani. It's going back on the latter half of the previous Mishnah, which is shvua she'eni yashen, shvua she'eni medaber, she'eni maleich asur. And right before that, we had the Mishnah that said, kunam shani yashen, shani medaber, shani malech. Over there, we said that that was harizeh bebal yachel divaro. There we said, that's asur midrabanan. And the shvua, the beginning of the Mishnah, the bottom of tabvav amabet, by shvua, it takes effect, and it's asur midoraita. That's what the Mishnah here is referencing back to. Zeh, chomer shvuot binidarim, by yashen, or by mehalech, or midaber. By a shvua, it will take full effect and have full force midoraita. By a neder, it will not have a full force midoraita, but it still take effect midrabanan. And that's the example that we're talking about. Shvua sheni yashen, sheni midaber, sheni melech, asur. Zechom v'shvot shebit nedarim, because by a neder, that is harei ze bebal yachel dvaro midrabanan. And that actually supports the position or the answer that Ravina gave previously in explaining the Mishnah, that Arizeh Bibai Yechel Dvaro is Asur Midrabanan. Here you see the Gemara supporting that position of Ravina. As the Ram points out over here, the Gemara never asks, in the reverse scenario over here, that Zeh Chomer B'Nedarim B'Shvuot, how come the Gemara doesn't ask? Well, a Chomer B'Nedarim means that Shvuot should be Asur. Yet in our Mishnah, when you take a Shvua, connected a mitzvah, the Shvua is not Chal at all. It's Mutar Legamre, and you can perform the mitzvah. So what the Ran answers, and many of the Oshonim point out, is that Eino Chanami, with regards to the Shvua taking effect, you're right, it's Mutar Legamre. On the other hand, you will be subject to Malkot because you took a Shvua Shav. And therefore, a Shvua Shav results in Malkot, and it is a Sur from that perspective. And therefore, it's not really Mutar Legamre. It's Mutar because the Shvua doesn't take effect, but you're going to get Malkot for taking a Shvua Shav. And now the Gemara says, Chomer Midarim B'Shvuot Ketzad. What's that case? Rav Katna Matni, Rav Katna has, the Memra said this way, Am Rav Gidol Marav, that it was Rav Gidol saying in the name of Rav. Rav Tavyume Matne, on the other hand, Rav Tavyume has the Memra brought in this manner, which is Am Rav Gidol Mar Shmuel. That's in the name of Shmuel. So it's machloket as to whether the originator of the Memra was Rav or Shmuel. Minayin Shein Nishbaim Lavor Al Mitzvot. How do you know that you're not allowed to take a shvuah that undermines the mitzvah? Tamal Omar, lo yachel divaro. He may not profane his word. Divaro lo yachel. He may not profane his word. Aval meichelo lechetzei shamayim. But he can profane for chetzei shamayim, meaning for things that belong to heaven, for things that you are otherwise already commanded in. So in a case where you take a shvuah that makes a demand of you to do something or not do something, then you are under the auspices of the Isur Lo Yechel Devaro. Do not profane your word. On the other hand, when you take a shvuah that relates to a mitzvah, then it's no longer Yechel Devaro because it's Chetzei Shamayim. It has to do with a mitzvah. And in that case, we say, you are Meichel, your word, we do violate your word when it comes to Chetzei Shamayim, when it comes to giving precedence to the mitzvot HaTorah or the mitzvot that Hashem asks us for. And therefore, if you are being mevatel, something that's Chefzei Shemaim will take precedence. Maishna neder. Why is a neder different than that? So you told us why a shvuah is like that. What about a neder? Dichtiv. Ishki idor neder l'Hashem. Lo yechel divaro. So by a neder, it also has the lashon of lo yechel divaro. Shvuah nami aktiv. Shvuah is also found in that pasuk, which is Oishava Shvuah LaShem Lo Yachel Divaro. So we assume now that what the Gemara's answer is, why is the nether different, is because it says Ishki Dor Nether LaShem. That even if your nether affects something that is associated with Hashem, Lo Yachel Divaro, you're bound by your word. So LaShem by nether tells you that even when the word of Hashem is affected, Lo Yachel Divaro, you must keep your word. Gemara says, well, Shvuah Nami Aktiv. In that same series of psukim over there, in that parsha, it says, Ohi shava shvuah l'Hashem. The shvuah also has, or is qualified by the word l'Hashem, and that means that a shvuah that is affected by Hashem, lo yechel devaro, also should not be able to be profaned, should not be able to be abrogated. Why is neder different than shvuah in that posuk? Amar Abaye, it makes a difference of how you formulate it. Hadamar hanat sukalai. The difference is how you formulate it, and that is klomar, as the Ran says, svaruhu de la Hashem lo kaya shvua elachi dor neder. It says that it makes more sense. It's logical to assume that the Lashem is modifying or qualifying the ki dor neder, and not necessarily qualifying the oishava shvua. Why is that? Because b'shum the neder b'din sheyucholo d'var mitzvah v'fishu oser l'tzmo anat sukkah shelason the neder kachu. That's the way that a neder works. Vein machilim et adam d'var asur lo, and we don't force someone to eat something that is asur. Similar to what we said in yesterday's daf with regard to tashmish, that in the case where they restricted tashmish, it doesn't work. But in the case where they restricted hanat tashmish, over there, it does work because we won't feed you something as asur, whether that's because of lifnei iver lo titen mikshol, or whether because it's chatichat asura, and we don't force someone to engage in chatichat asura. And the mitzvah is just a loss because of a byproduct that you can't get hana. Aval lashon shvuah, haino shelo yeshev sukkah, v'lo kol emenu lefki atzmo mimitzvat sukkah shehihu mitzuvah ba. There's no reason that a shvuah should take effect, because what type of right do you have to come up against God's word and to stop it? So basically what Abaye says, and the Ran is explaining over here, and that we explained again in the Mishnah before, is that there's a difference between the formulation of a neder and the formulation of a shvuah. And that formulation gives you a logical differentiation between the two. And that's what Abaye is answering. Hadamar hanat sukkah alai, where he prevents himself getting benefit from a sukkah. Hadamar shvuah shlo enem in a sukkah. In a case where he says, I will not get benefit from the sukkah by shvuah, then it doesn't take effect, and that has to do with the nature of the formulation. That anat sukkah is focused on the sukkah. The shvuah is focused on sitting in the sukkah, which is your mitzvah, and you're going against or undermining the command of the Torah to sit in the sukkah. As the Rosh notes over here, haynu taimo, that a neder works, because mishum dechol neder oser chefetz alav, hilkach enu nireh kenoder levatel mitzvah. It's not like he's saying a neder to be mevatel mitzvah. He didn't say anything about himself. He just said that this chefetz is not appealing to him. Whereas, aval kol lashon shvuah hu oser atzmo melasot ha-davar. וכיוון שהוא מחויב לעשות המצווה, עליו כל כמי להפקיע את עצמו מחיוב המצווה. And therefore, היו כך לא דרשין לשם על שבעה שבועה. And that's why we do not darshin לשם as qualifying שבעה שבועה, because we would never allow you to say something that is in direct contradiction to the word of Hashem. The Shita Mekubetzet explains that the difference between the neder and the shvua is that the neder focuses on the object, which means that you have some issue with this object, not necessarily with the mitzvah in particular. A shvua, which focuses your relationship to a mitzvah, makes it sound like you're not interested in God's mitzvot, or that they don't speak to you God's mitzvot, and therefore you want to get rid of them. So the shvua is an affront to God in that sense, that you're trying to get rid of the mitzvah. Whereas the neder is about this particular object, not about the mitzvah as a whole. Amar Rava. So now Rava asked the question that David asked before. V'chi mitzvah le'enot nitnu. I don't agree with your formulation, Abaye, because your formulation, the neder, should not preclude the individual from sitting in the sukkah. Because mitzvot, lav le'enot nitnu. So just because you restricted on that sukkah, why should that result in a blocking of your doing the mitzvah? Go do the mitzvah. Mitzvah lov le'enot nitnu. And therefore you're not in violation of your neder. Ela Amar Rava. Rava says the differentiation has to be worded this way. And as all the Rishonim note over here, Rava is not arguing on Abaye's principle that there's a difference between neder and shvua. He's just arguing on his usage of hana'ah as the differentiating factor over here because of mitzvah lov le'enot nitnu. And therefore he just reformulates the idea not to necessarily argue on Abaye fundamentally, but just in terms of his formulation of that fundamental difference. Hadamar yeshivat sukkah alai. Here, he takes a neder, that the sitting of a sukkah on him is a surbana. Hadamar shvua shlo yeshev b'sukkah. The other case is that he takes a shvua that he will not sit in the sukkah. So now, Rava differentiates between the nature of a neder and the nature of shvua without involving hana'ah. Because he says, if you involve hana'ah in this, then hana'ah should not preclude you from accomplishing the mitzvah because mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu. So now this brings us back. We discussed this at the end of yesterday's daf. How does this work over here? Bim tomar, afilu ki amar yeshivat sukkah lai. Even according to Rava, the guy precludes himself from sitting in the sukkah, lama asur b'yeshivat shel mitzvah. Why can't you go sit in the sukkah? Va'akev in the mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu. It's as if he didn't sit in the sukkah in a sense of his personal side. Because there's no one up. Clown. Tertsu betosafot. So Tosafot answers over here. The Mikolakon came in asar yeshivata alav. Since he restricted sitting in it, alfoshi be'inbo chana achal. Even though there's no hana here, it takes effect. So what he says over here, when you take a neder that restricts hana, then we can invoke the principle of mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu. But if you take a neder that affects a specific action, and that action is not about hana'ah, then that action, we can't say mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu, because you precluded yourself from a particular action. Lefi ze amar konam zrikat sur le'yam alav, asur. If you say that I will not throw, that it's restricted for me to throw this pebble into the sea, asur afapish in lo zrikato hana'ah. Even if there's no benefit from you throwing this stone into the sea or this pebble into the sea, asur. Miu dafka mefaresh yeshivat sukkah zrikat sror. That's only if you focus on this particular action. Aval, if you take a generic nether, which is konam sukkah alai, this sukkah is restricted to me, b'nether, or konam sror ze alai, yoshev yeshivah shel mitzvah. Then you're allowed to go and sit as a mitzvah. Vezoreko ton tzor, shenesarba, and you can throw that pebble that's a sor, imratza, if you want to, as long as there's no hana from it. Demistama lo asar letzmo ala hana'a b'ufad. Because our assumption in that case is that he only took an iser neder hana'a, which, as you say here, when you're maktisha behema, you are oseret on you and the whole world, but you can still touch the animal. When you make something into ekesh, it doesn't mean you can't touch the animal, can't carry the animal. It just means that you're asur b'achila and hana'ah, but you're not asur in touching that animal. And therefore, achanami isur stam achila v'hana'ah mashma. The Ran says, based on the Tosafot here, that stam neder involves hana'ah and achila, unless you specify a different action. If you specify yeshiva, you specify the zrikah, then you're bound about that action, independent or irrespective of the hana'ah. But if you just take a neder in general towards a chayfetz, then the assumption is that you're taking a neder that is oser you in achila and hana'a, and therefore, if it comes to a mitzvah od lav le'enot nidno, mitzvah lav le'enot nidno should overcome the problem of hana'a in this instance. On the other hand, if you have a case where you say, I will not sit in the sukkah, or I will not throw the rock, and it's independent of hana'a, then mitzvah lav le'enot nidno won't help you in this case. Because the isra, the restriction, is not about hana'a, it's about that particular activity. And that particular activity, then you can't just go and say, I'm sitting in the sukkah, it's okay. No, it doesn't work anymore because it's not about hana'a, it's about sitting. And now you violated that neder not to sit in the sukkah. Right, so that's one thing that the Ran clarifies over here. What's the difference between Rova and Abaye in the end? If mitzvot lav lehenot nitu. The second thing that the Ran raises over here is, how does it work over here when you say, shaloi shev basukkah? Or yeshivat sukkah alai, isn't that an intangible item? And how does a neder chal on an intangible item? V'im tomar ki amai yeshivat sukkah alai, mai havi, abadavar shem bo mamash, it's not a tangible item. Yishlomar da'ocha mai eskinim gomar konam sukkah l'shivata alai. So it focuses on the object, the sukkah li yeshivata. So he brings in the object in order to have it focus on a chefetz itself. On the other hand, aval tosafot amru, even if he focuses on the intangible item, mahani delo mikre dover shem bo mamash elish veinu mazkir shem achefetz shoaser alav. You only call it an intangible item if you don't make any mention in the nether of the object itself. So, like before, we said konam shani yashen shani medaber shani malich. Over there, you made no mention of the tangible object that would be associated with those items, like enai or raglai. Had you mentioned the object, even though you don't formulate it to focus on the object, the fact that you mentioned the object already is enough to make it into a neder that is chal on the chayfetz. So Tosfot has a big chiddush over here, that nedarim, as long as you mention an object in the context of an intangible item, it takes effect on the object. Even though you didn't formulate it to focus on the object, you didn't say konam sukkah liyishivat alai, which would be the proper formulation. Even though you say konam yeshivat sukkah, which focuses on the yeshiva instead of the sukkah, it's still considered as if you were focused on the sukkah, even though you formulated that way. So the Ran brings that one answer to the question of how the nether takes effect here, is that he actually mentioned a tangible object. The other hand, the Tosafot suggests that even if he formulated a yeshivat sukkah alai and didn't focus on the chayfetz, the fact that he mentioned sukkah is sufficient to generate a nether that is chal on the chayfetz. Or you could argue, like we said before in the Ran, that a neder like that on an intangible item is chal midrabanan, because of erizeh v'yachel debaro. So it's asr midrabanan. And even an isr derabanan can be ochr a mitzvah min a Torah b'shev v'altaseh. That's what the Ran said before, that when we said before that those isurim are ochr a mitzvah, we're saying that it's ochr a mitzvah even when the isr is only derabanan. So even when you take a neder about an intangible item, the Rabbanan said now, do not get ana. So since you can't get ana, you now are precluded from doing the mitzvah, b'shev v'altaseh, and that takes effect to be oker and mitzvah deoraita. Now, we mentioned yesterday that the Rashba and the Ritva disagree with the Ran and think that the only time that you can say that is when it's a neder deoraita. And therefore, at the end of yesterday's daf, where we talked about hanat tashmish, over there, the Rashba makes it clear that he thinks it's focusing on the guf, on the body. That the Isra Hana that was taken over here is not simply an Isra Hana, which is an intangible item. And therefore you're ending up with a Neder Derabanan. That's Oker the Mitzvah Mina Torah. But rather you're talking about a Neder Midoraita because he said, or he put in a word, Guf, in there. And so what the Rashba in effect is saying, or the Ritva also says something similar, is that either you say it's Ki Omer, that when a person formulates a Neder in this way, it's as if he said it in the other way, which is what basically the Balei HaTosafot say over here, that even though you didn't formulate it properly, we make it as if it's formulated in the proper way. Or, the Rashba is saying that literally, the person said that, Hanat Gufeich Alai, that the Nah from your Guf is Asur Ba'anah on me, and that's what creates the problem over there, that's a Neder Midoraita, because you focused on the Chefetz. The reason that is important is because of what we raised yesterday, when we talked about Mitzvot Lav Lehenot Nitnu. We mentioned yesterday, with regards to mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, then why is it a problem to have tashmish? If mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, then you should be allowed to have tashmish. The Ran answered over there, Because we have to differentiate between hana that is a result of your doing the mitzvah, which means that I'm happy that I did this mitzvah, I'm excited about the mitzvah, which there we invoke the principle of mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu, or hana'ah, that is a derivative benefit of doing the mitzvah. So in a case where you have tashmish, then there is hana'ah, or physical pleasure that comes from doing the mitzvah. That's not under mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu. That is basically physical pleasure that is a byproduct or a derivative of doing the mitzvah, and that is asur. And that's why the mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu will not help you in the case of tashmish. Whereas over here, where the person is sitting in the sukkah, the hana that we're talking about is the sitting in the sukkah, that he's getting the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. And therefore over here, we can invoke the principle of mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, because his benefit derived from the sukkah is not the sukkah itself, it's actually the mitzvah that's accomplished by sitting in the sukkah. And therefore over here, we can invoke the principle of mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, and the person would be permitted to sit in the sukkah, even though he's benefiting in terms of doing of the mitzvah. Now, in this case, it's not as clear, or it's a little more difficult, because when he sits in the sukkah, not only does he get a noah from the sitting in the sukkah and doing the mitzvah, but he actually gets physical pleasure from sitting in the sukkah and benefiting from the shade of the sukkah. There are those that answer, the Rashash over here answers that he has other alternatives. He has his house, he has other sukkot possibly that he could sit in, where he could get enough from them. And therefore the sitting in the sukkah, or the shade of the sukkah, is not really a benefit from this sukkah in particular, because he can get that in other places. And therefore it won't be deemed hana'ah. The derivative of the Rashash, you could claim here that a mitzvah where the hana'ah is essential for the accomplishment of the mitzvah, that hana'ah would not be prohibited. Over here, sitting b'schitzel ha-sukkah is the mitzvah itself. And since that's the mitzvah itself, that's not deemed, even though it's a physical hana'ah, it's not deemed to be a problem, and it's mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu. Another case where all the hana'ah is incidental hana'ah, and not absolutely necessary hana'ah to accomplish the mitzvah, over there, we will say that it is asur. The Dode Yehuda suggests over here that when he takes the neder and focuses on sukkah, he's clearly relating to the hana'ah from the mitzvah, not the hana'ah from the physical use of the sukkah, and therefore his neder is more particular towards the mitzvah, and there we can invoke the principle of mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu. On the other hand, this is very supportive of the position of the Rashba that we saw in yesterday's daf, as well as the Meiri brings up a similar idea in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, even though he rejects that and says it's probably not the right way to learn it, but it's similar to what the Rashba says over here, which is that when we say mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, means that any hana'ah that comes at the time that you're performing the mitzvah is mutar. And therefore, in the case here of the sukkah, it would make a lot of sense. When you sit in the sukkah, mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, so if you enjoy doing the mitzvah, no problem, because accomplishing the mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, you get joy and pleasure from sitting in the tzel of the sukkah. You're sitting in the sukkah. That's yeshiva b'sukkah. You're allowed to get hana'ah because mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu. That's the way the Rashi would explain it over here. And we said that was the same thing in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where it says that a person who goes to the mikveh during the summertime, he can't go if he had made a neder not to get benefit from the mayan, because he also gets the pleasure of going into the cold water and bathing in the summertime. So the Ritva and the Ran over here all say that the problem over there is that when you go into the mikveh, not only are you getting the mitzvah of becoming tahor, you're also getting cooled off. You get physical pleasure. And physical pleasure is not covered by mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu. Although then, according to the Rashba, it is covered by mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu. So what's the problem in the mikveh? Problem in the mikveh is once you're tahor, you're still in the water. And after you're tahor and finish the mitzvah, you're still getting bodily pleasures from the mikveh. And that's the problem. But as we mentioned yesterday, that left us in a conundrum with regards to tashmish amitah. According to the Ran, according to the Ritva, who suggests that bodily pleasure is not exempted by mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, we understood why tashmish does not override the isur hana'ah. On the other hand, for the Rashba, over there, the tashmish and the hana'ah come simultaneously, and therefore, since they're inextricably connected, it should be that it should be mutar according to the Rashba. And that's what we were just explaining before, that the Rashba reads that Gemara at the bottom of Ted Vav Amud Bet in regards to not tashmish, that the neder that he takes over there is focused on the goof. And the neder he took is that in a sense, gufeich alai. Konam gufeich alai. That your body, or pleasure from your body, is asur to me. So his neder is not simply about the hanat hatashmish in particular, but rather about the entire body of the woman is now precluded from him enjoying or getting hanat from it. And there the problem arises, which is that if it was just focused on the tashmish, maybe we could have overcome that problem because of mitzvah lav le'anot didn't know. On the other hand, over here, we extend the isur hanat to the guf of the isha, which is not necessarily involved in the mitzvah itself. Over there, the Rashba will say again that that incidental hana'ah is problematic because, yes, in the activity of tashmish, it's okay. But any other hana'ah from the guf of the isha, that's problematic, and that's what's going to cause the problem here in the tashmish amita. And that's why the Rashba will explain that Gemara before that we left off with in yesterday's daf. Or you could argue that intangible hana'ah is not deemed to be hana'ah over here. Just like a nether is not chal and something is intangible, intangible hana'ah may not be a violation of the neder. And therefore, sitting in the sukkah, even though you're getting pleasure from the tzela sukkah, since that's an intangible item, maybe that's not governed by the neder hana'ah. And that's why it's not a violation of your neder, even though it's a side benefit of your sitting in the sukkah. Gemara says, V'shein ishbayim lavor la mitzvot mihocha nafkalei. We learned it out from here. Mihotom nafkalei. We learned it out from this other limud, the Tanya. Yochol nishba levatel et mitzvah v'lo bitel. Yochol yehi chayav. You would think you'd be chayav tamal omar la ra olei tiv. Meaning that you can do something in the future. You will do something or you won't do something. Ma tava rishut. Just like when you demand of yourself through a shvuah to do something, that's something that's optional and open to you. Af hara'ah. So too, when you restrict yourself from doing something, it has to be something that is optional to you. Not when you're going up against a mitzvah. So therefore, we can exclude a case where you say or make a statement that says, I will not do a mitzvah. V'lo bitel. And he doesn't do it. Shein reshut biyado. That in the case, it's not in your hands to do it because the Torah demands of you to do it. Now, even though the Gemara doesn't explain here, how do you know that hatava is reshut? That is explained in the Gemara in Shavuot. Even though logically it's a differentiation that would make a lot of sense because hatava means that you're doing something actively. And there you would be violating the mitzvah, but kum va'aseh, that is much more problematic than the case of hara'ah, where you're desisting from doing something, where you're only violating it through a shave v'al taseh. There you might have had a havamina that it should work. So even logically there's a difference, but the Gemara in Shavuot actually deals with why you know, or how we know that hatavah is only done by the reshut and not a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, we need both psukim. We need ara lo yitiv, and we need lo yechel divaro to teach you. One is to tell you that you're patur mi kurban ha-shvua, the kurban that's brought because of a shvua. The chadam iftarei min lav de shvua, and one is to exempt you from the lav or malkot in the case of shvua. So the Kra Ola Haral Eitiv, which is written in the context of Korbanot, comes to exempt the individual from having to bring a Korban. And the Pasuk that's written by Lo Yachel Devaro, which is a Lav, that comes to exempt the individual from Malkot. Now, despite the fact that he is Patur from the Lav of Lo Yachel Devaro, he still will be Chayav for the Lav of Shvuat Shav. So when I say here, he's patur min alav, that means of the specific lav, alo yochel devaro. But he's still obligated in malkot because he violated a shvuat shav. Okay, we're going to stop here at the Mishnah on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph.